have your Bibles tonight. 2 Kings chapter 4, just a tremendous section of Scripture that I think will be a challenge to all of us. 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. You'll notice, if you would, in verse number 1, now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets of Elisha, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." Now, take just a minute, and let's set the story straight. Number one, this is a preacher, but he's gotten himself into financial trouble. So it tells me that anybody here, preachers, missionaries, business people, wealthy people, poor people, can get into trouble and have to go borrow money. Many times in the early 1800s, early 1900s, a farmer would have a bad crop and not be able to make it till the next winter with seed. And so in the springtime, he'd have to go to the bank and say, "Can I borrow some money for seed? And I need a crop." And so seed was relatively inexpensive, but if he had two or three bad crops in a row, he might owe a good bit of debt. Well, in order for you to borrow money, of course, you've got to have collateral. Well, I've got a piece of land, and so understand today you can go what's called bankrupt. You couldn't go bankrupt in this day. Because what they would do is they would come get your family. They'd come get your children, or your wife. So you'll notice there's two stories in the first 16 verses. Both of them are about women. Both of them are about women of faith. Both of them are about, one is about a woman that had great needs financially because her husband died. That was the reason. And I think a lot of times we have insurance today. They didn't have insurance. If a husband dies and he's got insurance, then his family's pretty well okay. But if he dies and doesn't have insurance, then the family's in terrible straits and could be bankrupt. Well, in this day, there was no insurance, so your husband was critical to your survival. That's the reason marriage was so important for a family. The husband had to take care of things. Well, you've got the story of Ruth and Naomi. When her husband died, they were in terrible straits. And so the Lord had to intervene in order for Ruth to come back and take care of the family, a daughter-in-law, because Naomi just couldn't work. She was an older woman. And so you'll notice the same thing here. Only this woman's a little younger. She's got two boys. And notice, if you would, she's a preacher's wife, and he was a godly man. He loved the Lord. So when you notice in the outline, Roman numeral 1, God provided for the widow with a miracle of increased oil. A miracle. We're going to look at that in a minute. But I want you to notice, A, the woman was a widow of one of the prophets. So he's a young preacher, and we don't know how old the boys are. They could have been 10, 12 years old. They would have certainly been old enough to be counted as slaves. And you'll notice, B, in the outline, he was a godly man. Now, think through this next sentence. Sometimes bad things to us, they're bad to us, happen to good people. And good things happen to bad people. And we, many times, sinners and people that are wayward from Christ will look at this and say, "Well, then there's no God because good things happen to bad people. And if there was a great God in heaven, he wouldn't allow that." But you'll notice, if you would, take your Bible and turn to Psalm 73. I want you to see this. It has always been that God has blessed both good and bad. He blesses the good to try to turn them to Christ. But he blesses, and then he allows things to happen to good people that would help us to be stronger. It's all about us being usable for the Lord. So if we're saved and trying to do what's right, God tries to make us better and purify us. And that only can happen whenever difficulties come. And so God doesn't bring the difficulties, but Satan does. The Lord uses Satan to purify us. He's always good to us. Every good and perfect thing cometh from the Father above, in James chapter 1. So every good thing you have came from the Lord. Well, you'll notice here in Psalm 73, here's the psalmist, says this, verse 2. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. Now notice verse 1. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such of a clean heart. He says God is good to people that are righteous. But he says, but as for me, my feet were almost gone and my steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He said, I saw bad people get blessed by God, and I said, what's the use? Notice, if you would, in verse number 11. And they say, how doth God know the sinners that are doing what's wrong? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. And you'll notice the obvious thought of someone that's not close to the Lord or that's having a struggle is in verse number 13. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain. I go to church in vain. I do what's right in vain. I read my Bible in vain. And there's no real God, or God's not paying attention or whatever. Notice, if you would, and washed my hands in innocency. I've tried to keep a clean and pure heart. Notice even verse 14. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. I've been fasting during the morning and praying about this problem, whatever it might be. And you'll notice he says in verse 16, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. When I thought about God bless the wicked, here I am trying to do what's right, it just hurt too much. And then he said one day, notice verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. When I went into the house of God and I began to sing the songs of the Lord, and I opened up my Bible and I began to sense the presence of the Lord, then I realized they don't have a home in heaven. They have no future. Everything they have is right here and now. And everything I have is there. And so you'll notice in verse number 28, the conclusion of it was, it is a good thing for me to draw near to God. I put my trust in the Lord that I may declare all his works. So he came to himself and said, you know, I need to stop looking at the wicked and envying the blessings that God gives to them to try to get their attention. There's two ways to get attention to somebody. One, be good to them. Two, correct them, punish them. And so we do that with our children, and God does that with us. To punish us, to make us make something that we've done, correct us, he punishes us, makes us hurt so that we don't do it again. I don't have to tell you, if you, I remember, you know, as a young kid, not paying attention and slamming the car door and getting my finger hung in it. I only did that once. You know why? Because it hurt so much, I paid attention from then on. So I learned the lesson because of the pain. And God allows that sometimes. That's called experience. We do things and it causes us experience. How many of you ever been cutting with a knife? And there's a couple of rules about a knife. One, never cut towards you. Never cut this way. That's also a rule with a hammer. How many of you, be honest, have ever hit yourself in the head with a hammer? Raise your hand. Raise it up. Let me see it. Okay, well, I have. Okay? Because you're hammering like this on top of something, trying to hit it, and you miss the nail and it hits yourself in the head. I've even sawed my hand. I remember being on a roof way up in Texas, cutting in a roof vent for a plumbing pipe. And it was up there, and I said, you know, I probably shouldn't do this. Hang on in the hole while I trim the hole with my saw. I did, and I sawed my hand. So there's some things we do, but I only did it once. I said, I'm going to learn the lesson. I'm not doing that twice. And so the Lord allows us to suffer sometimes, and it's called experience. Now, the foolish have to learn over and over and over again. The wise can learn, number one, by experience, or number two, by watching somebody else hurt. But God looks at it and says, I just rather would bless you. I'd rather be good to you. And all of us would rather be good to our children so that they do better. It just doesn't work that way all the time. But God is good to the wicked. Now, you'll also notice that sometimes bad things happen to good people. We know that with Joseph. He was a very godly young man. But what happened? His brothers were terrible to him and sold him into slavery. But God blessed him. But I don't think Joseph would have considered that God had blessed him for the first 10-12 years of his life while he's in prison or while he's in Potiphar's house. We don't know how long he was there, but we know this. It was not fun. Or what about Job? That was not fun for Job. It looked like all of his friends came and said, Job, you've done something wrong. God is punishing you. He says, no, my heart is right. They said, no, you're lying to yourself. And that's the book of Job. His three friends are just telling him, you've done something wrong and God is angry with you. And he says, no, I haven't. I don't know what's going on. I don't understand it. And so he didn't realize there was a battle going on between God and Satan. And God was using him as a message to Satan that there are some people that do what's right and they will do what's right no matter if they're blessed or not. So bad things happen to good people. So here's a widow lady. She's married, happily married, got two children, we assume, and her husband dies. And everything goes haywire. So she didn't know what to do. Well, notice if you would see in the outline, this widow had two sons. Notice D. She or her husband had borrowed money, and they owed a creditor. In Bible days, you didn't file bankruptcy. Your family became slaves until the debt was paid. So they're gonna come and take slaves. The creditor comes to take her two boys. And she panics. Well, you'll notice, E, she asked Elisha if she could do something, if he could do something to help her. Notice with me, if you would, back over to the original passage. Look with me, if you would, in verse number one. Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditors come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. They're going to take my two sons away. Can you help us? Can you help me? Please help me. He tried to do what's right. Couldn't the man of God help me? Well, you'll notice, 2 Kings 2:4-2, and Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thine house? He's asking, he says, what can I help you with that you have in the house? She said, I've got nothing except one cruse of oil, one little vase of oil. Well, notice, she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Now, she truly was bankrupt. She truly was poor. She had nothing except a pot of oil. Now, oil was expensive. It's probably cooking oil. It could have been lamp oil. We don't know. But the idea is the oil was expensive. So he said, okay, I want you to do this. I want your two boys and you to go all your neighbors and borrow every vessel you can. Now watch, listen to it. Verse 3. And he said unto her, and he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few, borrow every one you can. And when thou coming to that end, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all the vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So I want you to go and notice, if you would, take your vessel and pour it, that one vessel you've got left, and pour it into the other vessels. Now, this took faith. But notice he tells her the whole story. Watch. In verse number 3, he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors. Okay, then verse number 4, and when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour it into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. Pour them one at a time. When the vessel's full, set it aside. And so she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. Now, this takes faith. She has to believe the man of God. So he tells her what to do. And in her mind, she says, no, watch what he says in verse 6. It came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. In other words, the vessel that she had originally stopped pouring oil. Then she came and told the man of God. She said, okay, I've done what you said. Now, I don't know that she even thought about what was happening. This story is too bizarre to try to concentrate about. I wonder what the man of God is doing. He told me to send my boys and get every vessel in the village. So they go to every house and say, can we have any empty vessels you've got? They get them and run back to mom. Hey, can we have any empty vessels you've got? Big, little, they could have been vessels this big. And take them in and bring them back to mom. And said, and I want you to pour into the vessel. Now, it took faith to believe that that one vessel was going to pour them. Because he said, I want you to pour until it stops. Now watch, look what he says. Verse 4. And when thou art come in, and shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out in all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she knows, if she has faith, that she's going to fill up every vessel that the kids bring in. I wonder how many of us would have faith to say, now keep in mind it involved work and trust. And these boys might have said, Mom, if I go get 10 vessels, that means I got to take 10 vessels back to those people. We're just borrowing them. We're not keeping them. We're borrowing them, Mom. That means we got to take all those vessels back. They could have, you don't hear one complaint. So the boys were good boys. They were very obedient. There's no issue here that they say, they complain. They say, look, we don't want to go or whatever. You find they just up and went, got every vessel they could, and she had the trust in the Lord to say, I'll fill it up. You know, tonight, we have to have enough faith in the Lord that he's going to use what we have to bless us. We have to have enough faith to say, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. Remember, when the Lord gives us a command, sometimes it doesn't make sense. Sometimes we switch jobs because it doesn't make sense to us, but we're trying to do what the Lord wants. And sometimes we give something away and it doesn't make sense to give it away. But when you do what the Lord wants you to do, she used the last thing of value in her house. She was like the little widow in the New Testament that Jesus saw. She gave everything. Well, she didn't know what he was going to do with these vessels that were full of oil. So notice what happens in verse 6. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And they all stayed. Then she came and told the man of God. She said, okay, we've done exactly what you said. Now what? Well, notice in the outline, F, God usually uses what we have and blesses it. He doesn't, many times he'll take what we've got, talents that we have, to bless us with. He'll use a talent of music to bless us with. He'll use a talent of, that maybe there's some people have a talent of giving or a talent of helps. You've got talents, use those for the Lord so that he can expand them. If you take the talents God has given to you and bury them, you'll be like the parable in the New Testament. God will be upset with you and says, why did you take what I gave you and bury it? Why didn't you use it? Everyone in this room's got a talent. And God can expand it and bless it. And it'll be good for you. It'll enrich you. And that's exactly what happened here. She had one thing of value, and that was a cruse of oil. So you'll notice in the outline, one, Elisha told her to borrow vessels and pour into one pot into each until it was full. She filled every borrowed pot and the oil stopped. Notice two, she sold the oil and paid her debt and was able to live off the rest. Now, listen to the story. Verse 7, then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt and live thou and thy children of the rest. Now, you're talking about grand news. She filled up all these vessels and her kitchen the whole house is full of vessels that have got this expensive oil in it. And so She says, "You mean all this is mine?" I'm certain she was just stunned. She's not only going to pay her debt off, her children are going to be free. She's got enough money to live for a while without having to worry about her husband being gone. Now, you know, God didn't just meet barely the need. Verse 7, pay thy debt, live thou and thy children of the rest. God is always better to us than we deserve. He's always better to us than we could say, "Lord, I wished I had this. I wished I had that." If we're patient and we do the right thing, the Lord, you turn and look back and say, "Wow, he did more for me." How many times has the Lord done more for you than what you asked for? Raise your hand. How many times has he done more for you and you didn't even ask and he just was blessing you? Raise your hand. So what I'm trying to say is that the lesson in this story? And look, here's a widow lady that needed the help. And many times we need the help. We say, "Lord, please help us. Lord, please help me. I need your help." And God says, "Okay, I'll help you, but you've got to do what you're supposed to do. You've got to use what little you have for my glory, and I'll bless you." Now, notice, if you would, in the second story, before we get there, God provides for us all if we are faithful. The widow is an example of going to the right person with faith to believe it will help. We always go to the Lord. We always go and say, "Lord, can you help me?" And we always go with the trust that he's willing to help us. We always go with the trust that God's going to bless us. So I want you to notice, if you would, take your Bible and notice 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse number 8. "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, and there where was a great woman." Now, I love the story. There was a great woman here. The great woman is great for a few reasons. Notice, if you would, in the outline too, the great woman was blessed with a son. Notice this: A, she was great in several ways. Her efforts gave her a great testimony. Now, everybody in this room could have a great testimony. Everybody here could be great. And this woman, you're going to find that she was just a normal woman. Just like this other woman, the woman that was the widow. She's just a normal woman. God loves to bless his children. And he wants to bless you. We don't have to be great. But God considers us great if we do a few simple things. Now, I'd ask you tonight, how many of you would like to be considered great in the Lord's sight? Won't you listen tonight? I love the story of Daniel because God said, "Thou art greatly beloved." Now, Daniel had to be faithful. He was thrown into the lion's den. And so his greatness came from his integrity, from his faithfulness. But I want you to notice here, in the outline, notice A1, she was concerned about the needs of others and very hospitable. So one of the things that God said about this woman that made her great is that she thought about others. Do we think about others? I've heard some people say, "You know, I sure want to get this house and fix up the basement or fix up this room so I can house missionaries when they come through. I'd love to be able to do that and make a place for them." I think the Lord blesses that. It's thinking of somebody else. You'll notice in the outline, too, she was a lady that had spiritual discernment. Now let's read the story. A, verse 8. "Where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread." So it fell on a day that here's a woman that Elisha passes by Shunem. So she can tell he's a man of God just by the way he carries himself. He just has a maturity about himself. He has a presence of the Lord about himself. Remember, this is the greatest spiritual man on earth at this point in time. And when he walked by, just the presence exuded the Spirit of God. So she could tell there was something different. She had some spiritual eyes about her. And you can tell when somebody has a spiritual heart. And you can tell, "Look, I want to help these people." There are different countries where there are people that come to America to raise money to go back and help their country, but they're shysters. They do some good, but they pocket a lot of the money. It takes a lot of spiritual discernment to notice those people. Well, here, notice if you would in the outline. Notice two, she was a lady that had spiritual discernment. Notice three, she did more than was necessary to be a blessing to others. So notice the story, verse 9, and she said to her husband, now keep in mind, the story is that Elisha passes by this way. When he does, she stops him and says, hey, would you come in and have some bread with us? Would you come in and let me feed you? So just the thoughtfulness of this woman. And I want you to understand tonight that we should use what God's given to us to be good to other people. If someone is sick at home, we can go mow their yard. If someone has had surgery, we have a Helping Hands ministry. We have a ladies ministry, Kindred Hearts, where we want to fix a meal for somebody. You know, in today's society, that's a lost art. It's being good to other people. I mean, it takes time to prepare a meal, go out and buy the food, prepare a meal, and drive it over to someone's house. But it makes an eternal difference, and it makes a difference in God's heart. It's different whenever we say, look, I'll come up and help with the church, but what about a neighbor that maybe is elderly? And you say, look, I'll plow your driveway when it snows, or let me help you, with your trees, or Lord, let me help you mow your grass. Do you understand today that eyes for others are important to the Lord? This lady was great because of it. I promise you, if you open your eyes, there are a lot of people you can be a blessing to. But you have to forget yourself. And I'm going to tell you this, it will cost you. Notice what happens in verse 9. So he's coming by regularly, and we don't know why, but he's coming by pretty regularly. We don't know if it's once a week or once every 2 weeks, but he's coming by, and she stops him and says, she constrains him. It's not that she says, would you like to have bread? You've got to come in, preacher. You've got to come in because I've got some bread. I just made it. Would you please come in? She constrained him. She wanted him to come in. She wanted to be a blessing to him. Well, you'll notice in verse number 9, and she said to her husband, now watch in verse 8, and so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in there to eat bread. So she convinced him that he was not putting her out. She convinced him that she loved to treat him, that she loved to take good care of him. And so it happened often enough where she goes to her husband in verse 9. She said to her husband, behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God. There's the spiritual discernment. I perceive this is a man that walks with God. So you notice, which passeth by us continually. Now, when you read the passage, it sort of seems like it's two or three times a week. Verse 10, let us make a little chamber. Do you know what this is? You can write in your notes, the first prophet's chamber. The first prophet's chamber ever built. I want to make a chamber for a pastor, a missionary, traveling by. I want to make a place. I want to make a bedroom so that whenever there's a missionary comes through, I can put them up. Folks, use what you have for the Lord. The little widow lady, she used the only thing she had left. And Elisha said, will you use your cruse of oil? It was easy. That's all she had left. Many of us, we have a lot left. Don't ever get so selfish that you say, well, I don't have time. You're missing a blessing. The blessing of God. Now, I don't know what the Lord wants you to do, and I don't know what you have, but I know this. What you have is not yours. It's the Lord's. And we have to learn to be generous with it. Now, notice if you would, in verse number 10, let us make a little chamber. I pray thee on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. So notice, if you would, three in the outline, A3. This is Roman numeral 2, A3. She did more than was necessary to be a blessing to others. A, she persuaded her husband to build an addition under a house for the prophet to rest. That cost him money. Notice B, she even finished it in a very thoughtful way. How did she finish it? She added a bed, a table, a stool. None of these things are grow on trees. These things had to be built or they had to be purchased. She outfitted the prophet's chamber that she had built with her and her husband and said, I just want to be good to the preacher. Now, folks, tonight, there may be someone that you can be good to. Maybe it's not adding on to your house. Maybe it is taking care of an elderly mother or father. Or it's taking care of a brother or sister in need. Notice, if you would, number four, and this is the key. She asked for nothing in return for her goodness. Notice verse 12. Verse 11. Came to pass on the day that he came in thither and he turned into the chamber and lay there. Now, you'll notice another thing about the story. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. So not only did she take care of Elisha, she took care of his assistant, Gehazi. She was very generous. She didn't mind being good to someone. Notice, if you would, in verse number 13. And he said unto her, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. You have been so thoughtful to us with all this care that you've done. What is to be done for you? Wouldest thou to be spoken of for the king? Would you like for me to talk to the king so you can eat at his table? Or to the captain of the host, is there someone that you need to, you're afraid of? Someone that's been mean to you, and I'll speak to the captain of host and he can protect you? And she says, I dwell among my own people. I'm a nobody. I couldn't go before the king. Very humble and ask for nothing. Now, folks, here's a key point for all of us. If you do something for somebody else, do it for the Lord alone and expect nothing in return if you want God's richest blessing. Many times our flesh says, well, I helped them. What am I getting back? Let's learn the lesson that made the Shunammite woman great. What was it? She was a blessing to someone else, expecting nothing in return. That's the story. That's the lesson. And that's what made her great. And it wasn't just that she did a little bit for them. She added on to her house, and I want to put a bed in there. She could put a mat. I want a bed. Now, I had to learn a little bit from Susan on this. She wanted to have a nice bed for people to stay with us, whether it was family or missionary or even when Jeremy and Mandy came home. And so she would go down and she would go looking for mattresses and she would get a real comfy mattress. Well, do you know anything about comfy mattresses? They ain't cheap. I said, honey, they got a roof over their head. That mattress will do. And she says, oh, honey, you don't want to sleep on that mattress. We don't want them to sleep on that mattress. I said, yeah, I do. It's $200 cheaper. I do want them to sleep on that mattress. And she said, oh, no, honey, I really want to make a nice mattress. And I'm thinking, oh, my, oh, my. And then when I read this passage, it's like, you selfish guy. You know, we all have to learn. You know, I'm watching Nickels and Dimes and so I can spend dollars. And I want to give to missions. And yet, there's a care that all of us should have for other people. We should have awareness of eyes where you see the needs of somebody else. If you see someone struggling, you know the least thing we can do? We can say, I want you to know, I'm going to be praying for you. I know you don't have a job, or I know that your wife is struggling. You know, I don't know if you're praying, but Robin Mancheski has had three different kinds of cancer, including brain cancer. And she has tests every 3 months, I think it is. They do a battery of tests to try to catch the cancer. And I don't know how many tests in a row those tests have come back clear. But I heard today they had a hard time at the first of the week finding a vein that they could do the diet to take the test. And I so feel for her, because that was Susan's. Our greatest fear was to go to the hospital and try to find a vein that they could shoot into or they could get blood out of. Well, she got news today, clear again. And in my office, in my heart, I rejoiced. I got down and I said, Lord, thank you. Who is it you're invested in? Who is it you care about more than yourself? I'm not talking about just family. Here's a widow lady. She was great, but because she cared for this preacher that kept coming by. She even took care of Gehazi. And you know what? You're going to find out later next week, she knew he wasn't spiritual. But she took care of him anyway, because he was with the preacher. You'll notice, if you would, quickly in the outline, B, Elisha saw how kind and thoughtful she was, and he asked his assistant what could be done to be a blessing to her. And she had no children. Elisha told her that she would have a son about the same time next year. Notice verse 15. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood at the door. Yes, sir. He said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord. Thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. Apparently she was a little bit older, maybe past the time of childbirth. But she had not had any children. She was barren. And she said, oh, don't tease me with that. That's my greatest desire. Don't tease with that. That's not funny. And you'll notice, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her according to the time of life. Now you're going to notice something. D in the outline. Of course, this son became her greatest joy from the Lord. Her care for others came back to her in a way that she never dreamed of. And so tonight, folks, everybody in this room, learn to have eyes of awareness for the needs of others in little things, things you can pray about. And now, I got to be frank with you. We had two other people that passed away with the same kind of cancers that Robin has. And I prayed for them. But you know, I purposed to really pour my heart out for Robin. And whenever someone here has cancer, it just got a hold of my heart. I purposed to pour my heart out to say, Lord, you got to help them. Lord, you got to protect them. Lord, please, you have to invest your heart into some people. Who are you investing in? Who are you interceding for? There's someone else, Mrs. Turner. She comes in and I see her sit over there, and you know, she's on dialysis. Susan's on dialysis. And I just have such a burden for her. Every time I see her coming in, I say, Lord, would you bless her? Pray for her every day. I don't know if she's watching. There are just some people that get your heart. And she's been on dialysis, I think, for 8 years. And all I'm saying to you is that, are you using some of the talents God has given to you for other people? That's really the story here. Go to the Lord in faith when you have a need and take what you have and use it for others. Tonight, or doing that. Teenagers, you can do that. You can see a teenager that's struggling. Are you praying for them? Or are you saying that's their problem? You know, tonight, all of us can invest our heart in someone else and be a blessing to them. They may never know it, but the Lord does, and He'll bless you. Tonight, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you tonight, Lord, for the challenge. I'm so convicted when I read the great woman of Shunem. Lord, and she was great simply because she was aware of the needs of someone else more than herself. And Lord, you blessed her richly. You gave her her greatest desire. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight to have eyes of awareness to see the needs of someone else, whether it be somebody at work or somebody in our family or somebody in our church family, Lord, that we can invest in and be a blessing, even if we get nothing back in return. Lord, help us to do it because we love you. Now, Lord, speak to hearts tonight. In your name I pray. Amen.